Reacher crept down the first floor hallway, opened doors and searched rooms to the left and right as he went. They were all empty, all unused. He paused at the bottom of the stairs, backed away into an empty 12x20 space that might once have been a parlor, crouched and laid the knife on the floor and pulled out his phone.
Gunny,
he whispered.
You back with us?
Phone was in my pocket.
Yanny found Helen. She's okay.
Good. The basement and the first floor are clear. I think you were right after all. Rosemary must be in the attic.
You going upstairs now?
I guess I'll have to.
Body count?
2 down so far.
Lots more upstairs, then.
I'll be careful.
You do that.
Reacher put the phone back in his pocket and retrieved the knife from the floor, stood up, and crept out to the hallway. The staircase was in the back of the house. It was wide, dog-legged, and shallow-pitched. Quite grand. There was a wide landing halfway up where the dog-leg reversed direction. He went up the first half-flight backward. It made more sense that way. He wanted to know right away if there was someone in the second-floor hallway looking down over the banister. He kept close to the wall. If stairs creaked at all, they creaked most in the middle of a tread. He went slowly, feeling with his heels, putting them down gently and deliberately, and quietly. Boat shoes. Good for something. After 5 up-and-back steps, his head was about level with the second-story floor. He raised the gun, took another step. Now he could see the whole of the hallway. It was empty. It was a quiet, carpeted space lit by a single, low-wattage bulb. Nothing to see except 6 closed doors, 3 on a side. He breathed out and made it to the half-landing, shuffled left, and crept up the second part of the dogleg going forward, stepped off the staircase into the hallway. Now what? 6 closed doors. Who was where? He moved slowly toward the front of the house, listened at the first door, heard nothing. He moved on, heard nothing at the second door. Moved on again, but before he reached the third door, he heard sounds from the floor above, sounds that were coming down through the floor, sounds that he didn't understand, sliding, scraping, crunching noises, repeated rhythmically with a single light footfall at the end of every sequence. Slide, scrape, crunch, tap. Slide, scrape, crunch, tap. He stared up at the ceiling. Then the third door opened, and Grigor Linsky stepped out into the hallway right in front of him and froze. He was wearing his familiar double-breasted suit, gray color, boxy shoulders, cuffed pants. Reacher stabbed him in the throat, instantly, right-handed, instinctively. He buried the blade and jerked it left. Sever the windpipe, keep him quiet. He stepped aside to avoid the fountain of blood, caught him under the arms from behind, and dragged him back into the room he had come out of. It was a kitchen. Linsky had been making tea. Reacher turned out the light under the kettle, put the gun and the knife on the counter, bent down and clamped Linsky's head between his hands and twisted it left and jerked it right. Broke his neck. The snap was loud enough to worry about. It was a very quiet house. Reacher retrieved the gun and the knife and listened at the door. Heard nothing except slide, scrape, crunch, tap. Slide, scrape, crunch, tap. He stepped back into the hallway. Then he knew. Glass. Cash had returned fire through Chenko's favored northern vantage point, and like all good snipers, had sought maximum damage from his one shot. And in turn, like all good snipers, Chenko was keeping his physical environment operational. He was cleaning up the broken glass. He had a 25% chance of being directed back to that particular window, and he wanted his passage through the room clear. Slide, scrape, crunch, tap. He was using the side of his foot to sweep the glass aside, into a pile. Then he was stepping forward to sweep the next arc. He would want a clear 2-foot walkway through the room, no danger of slipping or sliding. How far had he got? Reacher crept to the next staircase. It was identical to the last one, wide, shallow, dog-legged. He walked up backward, listening hard. Slide, scrape, crunch, tap. He crossed the half-landing, kept on going, forward. The third-floor hallway had the same layout as the one below, but it wasn't carpeted, just bare boards. There was an upright chair in the center of the corridor. All the doors were open. North was to the right. Reacher could feel night air coming in. He stayed close to the wall, crept onward. The noises got louder. He flattened against the wall, took a breath, pivoted slowly, and stepped to his left into a doorway. Chenko was 12 feet from him, facing away, facing the window. The lower pane had been pushed up behind the upper pane. Both panes had been blown out. The room was cold. The floor was covered in glass. Chenko was clearing a path from the door toward the window. He had about 3 feet left to go. His rifle was upright against the wall, 6 feet from him. He was stooped, looking down, concentrating hard on his task. It was an important task. Skidding on a pebble of glass could cost him precious time in a firefight. Chenko had discipline. And 10 seconds to live. Reacher put the knife in his pocket, freed his right hand, flexed it, stepped forward. Just walked, slow and silent, down the path that Chenko had cleared. 4 quiet paces. Chenko sensed it. He straightened. Reacher caught him around the neck from behind, one-handed. He gripped hard, took one more long, fast stride, and stiff-armed Chenko forward with it and threw him out the open window head first. "I warned you," he whispered into the darkness below. "You should have put me down when you had the chance." Then he took out his phone. "Gunny?"
"Here."
"Third floor window where you returned fire. You see it?"
"I see it."
"A guy just fell out. If he gets up again, shoot him." Then he put the phone away and went looking for the attic door. He found Rosemary Barr completely unharmed, sitting upright on the attic floor. Her feet were taped, her wrists were taped, her mouth was taped. Reacher put his finger to his lips. She nodded. He cut her free with the blood-stained knife and helped her stand. She was unsteady for a moment. Then she shook herself and gave a kind of nod, then a smile. Reacher guessed that whatever fears she had felt and whatever reaction she was feeling right now had both been neutralized by some kind of a steely determination to help her brother. If she survived, he would survive. That belief had kept her going.
"Have they gone?"
"All except Raskin and the Zek."
"No, Raskin killed himself. I heard them talking. The Zek made him do it because he let you steal his cell phone."
"Where's the Zek likely to be?"
"He's in the living room most of the time. Second floor."
"Which door?"
"Last on the left."
"Okay, stay here. I'll round him up and I'll be right back."
"I can't stay here. You have to get me out."
"Okay, but you've got to be real quiet. And don't look left or right."
"Why not?"
"Dead people."
"I'm glad."
Reacher held her arm down the stairs to the third floor hallway. Then he went ahead alone to the second. All quiet. The last door on the left was still closed. He waved her down. They made the turn together and headed to the first floor, to the front of the house, to the room he had entered through. He helped her over the sill and out the window to the dirt below. He pointed.
"Follow the driveway to the road. Turn right. I'll tell the others you're coming. There's a guy in black with a rifle. He's one of ours."
She stood still for a second. Then she bent down and took off her low-heeled shoes and held them in her hands and started running like hell, due west, through the dirt toward the road. Reacher took out his phone.
"Gunny."
"Here."
"Rosemary Barr is heading your way."
"Outstanding."
"Round up the others and meet her halfway. There's no more operational night vision. Then stand by. I'll get back to you."
Reacher put the phone away, backtracked through the silent house on his way to find the Zek. Chapter 17. In the end, it came down to waiting. Wait, and good things come to you. And bad things. Reacher crept back to the second floor. The last door on the left was still closed. He ducked into the kitchen. Linsky was on the floor, on his back in a pool of blood. Reacher relit the flame under the kettle. Then he stepped out to the hallway, walked quietly to the front of the house and leaned on the wall beyond the last door on the left, and waited. The kettle boiled after 5 minutes. The whistle started low and quiet, and then the note and the volume rose to full blast. Within 10 seconds, the second floor of the house was full of an insane shrieking. 10 seconds after that, the door on Reacher's right opened. A small man stepped out. Reacher let him take a pace forward, and then spun him around and jammed the Smith 60 hard in the base of his throat, and stared. The Zek. He was a wide, ancient, twisted, stooped, battered old man. A wraith, barely human. He was covered in livid scars and patches of discolored skin. His face was lined and drooping and seething with rage and hatred and cruelty. He was unarmed. His ruined hands didn't seem capable of holding a weapon. Reacher forced him down the hallway, into the kitchen, backward, to the stove. The noise from the kettle was unbearable. Reacher used his left hand and killed the flame. Then he hauled the Zek back toward the living room. The kettle's whistle died away, like an air raid siren winding down. The house went quiet again. "It's over," Reacher said. "You lost."
"It's never over,"
the Zek replied. Hoarse voice, low, guttural. "Guess again," Reacher said. He kept the Smith hard against the Zek's throat, too low and too close for him to see it. He eased the hammer back, slowly, carefully, deliberately, loudly. Click, 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 crunch. An unmistakable sound.
"I'm 80 years old,
the Zek said. "I don't care if you're 100, you're still going down."
"Idiot. I meant I've survived things worse than you, since long before you were born."
"Nobody's worse than me."
"Don't flatter yourself. You're nothing."
"You think?" "You were alive this morning, and you won't be tomorrow. After 80 years, that makes me something, don't you think?" No answer. "It's over. Believe me. Long and winding road, okay, I understand all of that, but this is the end of it. Had to happen sometime." No response. "You know when my birthday is?"
"Obviously not."
"It's in October. You know what day?"
"Of course not."
"You're going to find out the hard way. I'm counting in my head. When I reach my birthday, I'm going to pull the trigger." He started counting in his head. First. Second. He watched the Zek's eyes. Fifth. Sixth. Seventh. Eighth. No response. 10th, 11th, 12th.
"What do you want?"
"Negotiation time," Reacher thought. "I want to talk."
"Talk?"
"The 12th. That's how long you lasted. Then you gave it up. You know why? Because you want to survive. It's the deepest instinct you've got, obviously. Otherwise, how would you have gotten as old as you are? It's probably a deeper instinct than I could ever understand. A reflex, a habit, roll the dice, stay alive, make the next move, take the next chance. It's in your DNA. It's what you are."
"So?"
"So now we've got ourselves a competition. What you are against what I am."
"And what are you?"
"I'm the guy who just threw Chenko out a third floor window, after crushing Vladimir to death with my bare hands, because I didn't like what they did to innocent people. So now you've got to pit your strong desire to survive against my strong desire to shoot you in the head and piss in the bullet hole." No response. "One shot. In the head. Lights out. That's your choice. Another day, another roll of the dice, or not, as the case may be." He saw calculation in the Zek's eyes. Assessment, evaluation, speculation. "I could throw you down the stairs. You could crawl over and take a look at Vladimir. I cut his throat afterward, just for fun. That's who I am. So don't think I don't mean what I say. I'll do it, and I'll sleep like a baby the rest of my life."
"What do you want?"
"Help with the problem."
"What problem?"
"There's an innocent man I need to get out of the prison ward, so I need you to tell the truth to a detective called Emerson.
The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I need you to finger Chenko for the shooting, and Vladimir for the girl, and whoever it was for Ted Archer, and whatever else you've done, the whole nine yards, including how you and Linsky set it all up. A flicker in the Zek's eyes. Pointless. I'd get the death penalty. Yes, you would. That's for damn sure. But you'd still be alive tomorrow. And the next day. And the next. The appeals process lasts forever here. 10 years, sometimes. You might get lucky. There might be a mistrial. There might be a jailbreak. You might get a pardon. There might be a revolution or an earthquake. Unlikely. Very. But isn't that who you are? A guy who will take the tiniest, slim fragment of a chance to live another minute, as opposed to no chance at all? No response. You already answered me once, when you quit the birthday game on the 12th of October. That was pretty fast. There are 31 days in October. Law of averages said you'd be okay until the 15th or the 16th. A gambler would have waited for the 20th. But you didn't get past the 12th. Not because you're a coward. Nobody could accuse you of that. But because you're a survivor. That's who you are. Now what I want is some practical confirmation. No response.